preached three sermons as an attempt to articulate who we are here at Southside and where we felt like God was calling us. I preached those sermons after the ministers and elders had had some conversations about our future and about our vision as a church, and we had come to a conclusion that there were three main ideas that we wanted to emphasize as church leaders and as a church body. Number one, that we wanted to be missionaries, that we wanted to promote the idea that every single one of us has a calling from God to be about God's mission in the world. Number two, we wanted to emphasize we want to be a church of mercy, that we want to be a place where anybody could come, no matter who they were, no matter what they've been through, no matter where they have, what things they had gone through in their life, that they could come here and they could find acceptance, love, grace. They could get physical needs met and, of course, spiritual needs as well. And then number three, we wanted to be a place of transformation. We wanted to be a church where God was changing lives by His Spirit, forming each one of us into the image of Christ. And so those three ideas I preached in three sermons 10 years ago. And those three ideas have kind of become a mantra around here. You can see it on your bulletin even. It's our tagline. We're a church of mission, mercy, and transformation. And those ideas have served us so well. They've given us a sense of direction. They've given us a sense of focus. They've helped us think about who we want to be. They've guided us. But it's been 10 years. It's 10 years. And the ministers and elders have been thinking about this, that maybe it's time for a reboot. Every so often on my laptop computer or on my phone, I'll get a notification that it's time to update. And whenever I get that notification, I always am a little bit annoyed and irritated, because what that means is I've got to close down whatever I'm working on. I've got to shut down all my programs. I've got to restart my computer, and that's going to take some time. In some cases, it's going to take quite a bit of time because my computer restarts very slowly. But I know that if I don't get that update, there are going to be certain things that I'm going to miss out on. There are certain bug fixes that I won't get. There will be certain capabilities that I won't have. There'll be certain advanced technology that I won't be able to access, and my programs will start to become out of date. And so because I know these things, I go ahead and I take the time to update. And in many ways, that's kind of the image that I want us to understand over the next 3 weeks, that the ministers and elders feel like it's time to update. It's not that we want to change our operating system. It's not that we want to reconfigure our DNA. We still want to be a church of mission, mercy, and transformation. But maybe it's time to kind of re-examine that a little bit and think a little deeply about it, to renew it, if you will, to update it. After all, a lot has changed over the past 10 years. A lot has changed here at church, among our ministry staff, for example. When I preached those three sermons 10 years ago, it was me and Dan. And Matthew hadn't even been hired at that point. And now, next week, we're going to formally charge our new youth minister, Evan Johnson, and Matthew's going to slide over to his role as missional discipleship minister. And after that we're going to have 5 full-time ministers and 3 part-time ministers, as Becca works with our children and Chris with our college, and now Daniel Torres works with our deaf. We've got a big staff. When we have a staff meeting, we have to have a big room now to get everybody together. And the eldership has changed a little bit over the past 10 years, and it's going to continue to change, as we're going to talk about later on in the series. And our church has changed. We're much bigger of a church than we were 10 years ago. Our auditorium is full. The balcony is full this morning, and it's like that on most Sundays nowadays. Our Sunday school classes fill up every Bible class room that we have. If we're going to start a new Bible class, it's going to be in the auditorium or balcony or some other place, because all of our rooms are practically being used. Our building is used a lot during the week. We have a lot of different ministries now that we didn't have 10 years ago. A lot has changed. And our community has changed surrounding us. People are moving back into this neighborhood. Have you noticed that? There's been a lot of redevelopment just north of our building. As we speak, they are building literally hundreds, if not thousands, of apartments just north of our building. Property values have gone up, which is good and it's bad, because it's pushing out those that are poor out of this neighborhood. A lot has changed. And so in light of all of these changes and other factors as well, the ministers and elders, about 6 months or so, started having some of those same conversations that we had 10 years ago of who are we and where is God leading us and what does the future hold? And out of those conversations have come three main ideas that are consistent with mission, mercy, and transformation. And so this week and next week and the week after, I'm going to preach three sermons again, like I did 10 years ago, in what we're calling Vision 2.0. When I came to Southside 11 years ago now, one of the key texts that our elders really appreciated was Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. It's a passage where Jesus, where we see a summary of Jesus' ministry. And it says that Jesus was doing three things in his ministry. Number one, he was preaching, he was teaching, and he was healing. And right after that summary statement in verse 35, we get the reason why Jesus was doing this in his ministry. What was motivating him to do these things? It says that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That when Jesus looked at the people there in the first century along the hillside in Judea, he saw that these were people who were hurting. They didn't just have needs, but they were lost. And they needed teaching and they needed guidance. They needed a shepherd. And it was that compassion that motivated him. And it caused him to turn to the disciples and tell the disciples to start praying. Because any sense of mission always begins in prayer. And so he tells the disciples, I want you to start praying. Pray that the Lord of harvest will send out workers into the harvest field. He tells the apostles, we need more workers. And there's a lot of lost people out there. And we need to pray that God will give us workers and send them out to the field. Well, that idea really resonated with our leaders when I came here. Because we realized that we were in a mission field. And there was a lot of people in our neighborhood who were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so the elders started praying that prayer, asking the Lord of harvest to send forth workers into the field. We needed more workers to come and join us and to help us in the ministry that God had called us to in this neighborhood. That's why we use the phrase around here, partners in the gospel. If you're a guest this morning, you don't place membership here at Southside. You become a partner in the gospel. And the reason why we use that phrase is because we wanted to make it clear to people that as they came to Southside, you're not coming to sit on a pew. You're coming to join us in the work that God has called us. You are coming to be a partner in the ministry that God has called us. You're an answer to this prayer. And so you're here to work in the field with us. And so we prayed that prayer for years. And one reason why I wanted Terry to read the Message translation of this verse is because there's a line in the Message that I really like that as it goes into chapter 10, verse 1, it says this line, that the prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. And I think that could be said about our church here at Southside. That as the elders and the ministers prayed that prayer, no sooner as we prayed it, it started to be answered. Do I get an amen on that? And to give a public demonstration of how this prayer has been answered, I want to do something here for a second. If you're a partner in the gospel here at Southside, and you have come here within the last 10 years, so you've been here less than 10 years, I want you to stand up. If you're a partner in the gospel here at Southside, and you've come in the last 10 years. And I want you to look around at everybody who's standing. And I want all those who are standing to know, you are here, as I say every Sunday, you are not here by accident. You are here for a reason. And that reason is, you're an answer to the prayer of the leaders of this church. That we prayed that God would send us workers, and God sent you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so that's an answer to our prayer. Go ahead, you can be seated. Go ahead, we can celebrate that. And there's so many of you that as I see you saw you standing, there's so many of you that I truly count you as partners in the gospel. You're not just people who sit on a pew, but you are fellow workers in the kingdom. And I'm so thankful for that. And I don't want to mention names because there's too many people to mention. But I think about you know, Alvin and Mary Smith over here, who came over here. They are working, teaching the Bible, serving the Lord. I think about James and Clara Lee back here, who helped start a whole ministry here at South. They came here and they started. And I could just go on talking about people like that in our church who came here as an answer to this prayer and have started working in the fields with us. And God has blessed that. And so here we are on Sunday, and we have a whole room full of workers as an answer to that prayer. But the question of Vision 2.0 is, now what? We prayed this prayer of Matthew 9, and God has answered that prayer. Now what? What's next? And here's where I need to give some props to John Scott, because we were sitting around talking about this passage and talking about our church several months ago. And as we were talking, John said, you know, it sounds to me like that it's time for us to move to Matthew 10. Because when you turn the page to Matthew chapter 10, Jesus gathers up his 12 apostles. He gives them authority, which means that he grants them spiritual giftedness and he empowers them. And then he sends them out. And he sends them out for the purpose of declaring that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he tells them, I want you to bless people, and I want you to heal people, and I want you to bring and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And as we were thinking about that, it seems as if that's what God is calling for us here at Southside. We don't want to be a church that just prays that God would send us workers and then just simply be happy and content that God has sent us workers and we've got a full building. That's not being a good steward. Instead, we want to be a Matthew 10 church. We're like Jesus, we're empowering one another and we're sending one another out for mission. After all, that's who our God is. Our God is a sending God, isn't he? He sent Moses to help bring the people out of Egypt, out of slavery. He sent prophets to call the people of Israel back to the ways of God. He sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord. And then he sent himself in the form of Jesus to redeem this broken world. And now he has sent us, the church, that we are a sent people. We're a missionary people. And we want to be a church that is empowering one another, cultivating the spiritual giftedness, giving one another authority, as Jesus said, cultivating the spiritual giftedness among one another, and then sending one another out for mission. A church that's empowered and sent. Because I have to tell you, there's been a lot of wonderful ministries that have been started over the past 10 years, but there's a lot more ministries that need to be started. And there's been a lot of wonderful stories of people coming to Christ and their lives being changed through this church, but there's a lot more stories to be written. And there's been a lot of wonderful moments over the past 10 years or so where God has used this church in a powerful way, but there's a lot more moments to live. And we want to be a church that's a Matthew 10 church, that's empowering one another and being sent out. And so we're going to start praying a new prayer among the leaders. And I hope you'll start praying this prayer with us. It's the Matthew 10 prayer. Lord, empower and send us. You've brought workers to work in the field. Empower and send us. We have a wonderful group of people with so many different gifts. Empower and send us. There's a lot of lost people out there who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Empower and send us so we can be about your work in this world. But this raises another question. And that question is, where is God sending us? Where is God sending us? When Jesus gathered up his apostles and gave them authority and sent them out, he sent them out on what is called the limited commission, which means that it wasn't a commission to every place all over the world, but it was specific, it was narrow, it was focused. And that focus was not to the Gentiles. It wasn't to the Samaritans. That focus, all that would come later, but the focus right now was on the Judean people surrounding them, their fellow countrymen, That's where the focus was. And I think that's a really good metaphor for where the leaders believe our focus should be. The other reason why I wanted Terry to read the message is because of how Eugene Peterson translates this part. He says, don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. The elders and ministers believe in God's global mission, and I want everyone to know that. We believe that God wants the whole world to come to know of Jesus, and we want to do our part in that. That's why we have a global missions team, and we devote quite a bit of money from our budget towards that team, and we partner with many ministries around the world, whether that's in Honduras or Ecuador or Ukraine or the Philippines or other places, and that's going to continue. But the elders and ministers believe that our primary focus, our number one priority is that phrase, to go to the lost, confused people in our own neighborhood. That we believe God has placed us here in this place so that we can join God in ministering to the people of this neighborhood. And let me just add that this idea goes deep into Southside's DNA. As many of you know, next month, we're going to celebrate 125 years of existence. And that is so cool that our church has been in existence for 125 years, and that's going to be a wonderful day of celebration. But here's something that's really fascinating. That 125 years of existence, the church, Southside, has always, always been located in this general neighborhood for 125 years. Hasn't gone to this place and that place, but it's always been on the near south side of Fort Worth. And John was telling me a story about back in the 1950s when they were ready to build a new building. They had outgrown their building at College and Luda Street, which is close to Trimble Tech High School, that there was a key leader named Dr. Wise, and some of you might remember that name, who wanted to make sure that that new building was not going to be built down near Hewlin. That wasn't going to be built down in a suburb on the edge of town, but instead it was going to be built right here in this neighborhood, and so it was built right here on Hemphill Street. That's where we are. And we as leaders believe that that's not by accident, that God had a hand in that, and that we have a purpose here. We have a calling here, that God has called us here to this neighborhood, and we're committed to that. We're committed to joining God in the work that he's doing right here in this neighborhood. That God in his providence has given us this place at this time so that we can be about the ministry in this neighborhood. And so I want you to know that our elders and ministers are not interested in selling this property and moving out to a suburb. Our elders and ministers are not interested in starting another site that's far away from this place. They are committed to this neighborhood. And when we talk about neighborhood, the way that a lot of times we describe it is a 3-mile radius circle around this building. And I have a crude picture of that here on the screen, and I don't know if you can see it real well, but I have mapped out a 3-mile circle radius around our building. Now, I want you to look at this circle for a little bit, because this is such a unique circle to me. There's over 100,000 people in this circle. Over 100,000 people. During the middle of the day, that number balloons up to over 200,000, because there's so many people that drive in to work in this circle. The densest zip code in Fort Worth is our zip code, 76110. And that's just going to get more dense. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot more building going on in the area. This circle is incredibly diverse. You go 1 mile to our west, you're going to see some of the most prettiest, most expensive homes in Fort Worth. You go 1 to 2 miles to our east, you're going to see a lot of people who sleep outside. In this circle, there's a lot of different racial and ethnic backgrounds that are represented. This circle has three major colleges or universities: TCU, Texas Wesleyan University, and Tarrant County College. It goes from the top of downtown to the bottom of LeGrand Plaza, from TCU on the west to Texas Wesleyan on the east. It's a fascinating circle. And we believe that God has called us to this neighborhood. Particularly because when you start examining this circle, it in many ways it's church deficient. And let me explain that. I mentioned that there's 100,000 people in this circle. I want you to think about other towns in Texas that have around 100,000 people or so. 100 to 200,000 because that's how many come into work. You think about towns like Abilene or Wichita Falls or San Angelo or maybe even Lubbock. I don't know the population of Lubbock right now. But you think about those kinds of towns. And think about, just with our fellowship, how many churches of Christ are in those towns? How many vibrant, big churches of Christ are in those towns? Now think about our circle. How many churches of Christ are in that circle? Well, there's us. There's Richmond Avenue Church of Christ, our sister church just over I-35. There's Sempre Familia, Iglesia de Cristo, that we helped plant about 7 or 8 years ago. And then there's a couple others that are really small and struggling. And that's it. In the 1950s, in this circle, there were 15 churches of Christ. 15. And now, there's hardly 4 or 5, and most of those are small and struggling. Many churches have closed their doors, or they've decided to move out. And so in an area that is similar to Abilene or Wichita Falls, there's not very many churches of Christ, vibrant, big churches of Christ. And so we're in the middle of a mission field. I really believe that. This is a mission field, church. And just to add a little bit to that, I've been reading a book recently on missiology, which is the study of missions. And global missions is changing. I don't know if y'all realize that, but global missions is dramatically changing. Because now, because of the evangelism that's been done in Uganda and Kenya and South Africa and places in Asia and all over the world, there are way more Christians outside of the United States than there are in the United States. There are more Christians gathering for worship this day in other areas of the world than there are in North America. The dominant group of Christians in the world are those who live in the southern hemisphere of our planet, not the northern hemisphere. And now we are seeing the dynamic of churches in other countries sending missionaries here to the United States. We are a mission field. And it's way past time for us as the church to understand ourselves as a missionary people and that we are missionaries particularly to this neighborhood. And the ministers and elders are committed to that idea that we are sent to this neighborhood to be missionaries to the people right around us to join with God in his work in this area. A couple weeks ago, as I was preparing these lessons, I just sat down and I pulled out my map with my 3-mile radius, which I have in my office, and I wrote down all of the schools, neighborhoods, points of interest in our neighborhood. I just wanted to see all that there were, and then I turned it over to our graphic design genius, Chris Jeter, and he created this collage. And this is the collage of all the different parts of our neighborhood. And I know you can't see all those words, but they represent so many things, so many schools, so many neighborhoods, so many social services, so many colleges and other things. And as I look at that list, that's our mission field. That's our neighborhood that we feel called and empowered and sent to minister to. And I'll be honest, I don't know what the next 10 years hold and how we're going to minister to all the groups and people in our neighborhood. It may be that down the road we plant another church in our neighborhood. It may be that down the road we start another worship service in some other part of our neighborhood. It may be that down the road we start new ministries that are reaching people in different ways. I don't know, but I do know this. This is our mission field, and we are called and sent to be missionaries to this neighborhood. And as I've thought about this, the people that are represented by this graphic, they're not coming here. They're not coming here on their own. We've got to go to them. And let me just close with this story that I might have told you before, but I think really sums up what I mean by that. Several years ago, when my oldest Joshua was in kindergarten, I had to go over and do career day at Days of Allah. I had to talk about the career of being a minister for the kindergartners and the pre-K students. Now, that was a tough job, I tell you. But I had this little presentation about what it means to be a minister, and that to be a minister is to tell people about God, but also to be a minister is to help people. And so I showed a little picture of our food pantry and said, if you need food, you come to our church and we will help you, because that's what a minister does. And if you showed a picture of our clothing ministry and I said, if you need clothes, you can come to our church and we will give you clothes, because that's what a minister does, helps people. And then I showed a picture of a little child. And I said, if you're a child and you feel alone and you need a friend, you can come to our church, and we love children, because we have children's Bible classes, we have tutoring for children, we have 3-2-1 Go Camp, we love children. There was this little girl in the back of the class who raised her hand. I said, yes, do you have a question? She said, but what if the child doesn't know how to get to your church? And in many ways, that's the dilemma of the church right now. There are so many people out there who are harassed and helpless, who are sheep without a shepherd, and they don't know how to get here. They weren't raised in a Christian home. They don't have naturally good feelings towards the church. They're not thinking about Christian things. They don't know how to get here. And we've got to go to them. Think about how many children that in a week are going to walk into Days of Allah Elementary or Daggett Elementary or Morningside Elementary or Carroll Peak or George C. Clark. How many children who are harassed and helpless and they don't know how to get here? We've got to go to them. Or think about all the teenagers who are going to, in 1 week, walk into McLean Middle or Daggett Middle or Pascal High School, and some of them are really far away from God and they don't know how to get here. We've got to go to them. Or think about all the college students that are going to walk onto TCU's campus or Tarrant County College campus or Texas Wesleyan, and many of them are far away from Jesus and they don't know how to get here. We've got to go to them. Or think about all the young adults that are coming to our neighborhood every Friday and Saturday night, hanging out on Magnolia or listening to music in a number of bars in our neighborhood. Think about all of the young adults that hang out at West 7th or hang around the Trinity River near the Panther Island. Many of them are far from Jesus, and they don't know how to get here. We've got to go to them. Or think about all the families that live in Fairmount or Ryan Place or Hemp Hill Heights or Rosemont or Mistletoe Heights, Shaw Clark neighborhood. They don't know how to get here. Many of them are far from the Lord and they're not in a church on Sunday and they don't know how to get here. We've got to go to them. Think about all those who are struggling in our neighborhood. Those that are sleeping outside on Lancaster Avenue. Those that have HIV that live at the Samaritan's House. The abused women that walk into One Safe Place, the deaf that live at Heritage Park. Many of them are far from the Lord, and they don't know how to get here. And we've got to go to them. And church, will we answer the call? Will we let Christ empower us and send us at this time, at this place, to be His missionaries in this neighborhood? Let's pray. Lord, as Jesus noticed, the need is great. And there's many people around us who are harassed and helpless and are like sheep without a shepherd. And they're hungry and they're thirsty. They're confused. They're distressed. Satan's got them all mixed up. And their lives are being full of darkness. And Lord, we've prayed. We have prayed and prayed that you would send forth workers into the field. And I'm so happy this morning to see a building full of people that are an answer to that prayer. And so, Lord, we want to pray another prayer. Empower us and send us. Give us your authority. Give us the spiritual giftedness, so that we can be sent into this neighborhood and that we can love the children and the teenagers and the college students and the young adults, that we can love the families and the elderly and those that are down and out. Give us vision and creativity. give us ideas on how we can be better missionaries and partners in the gospel in this place. You've brought us here for a reason, Lord, not by accident. And so empower us and send us so that this neighborhood, this group of 100,000 to 200,000 people can know that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. And if you're here this morning and you need encouragement or you're going through a tough time, I want you to know we are here for you. And we're going to have our elders and ministers surround this auditorium in just 1 minute. And if you need encouragement, if you need prayer, we're here to pray with you. You can just walk over to one of them and they will help you. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, to be welcomed into the family of God, have your sins washed away, we would love to do that this morning. Just come to the front, let us know that you want to do that. Please come now as together we stand and sing.